We're doing a Yov. We're up to what's called the 36th chapter. And Elihu, in his mind, has answered all of Yov's claims. Now he's going to strengthen his claims. Vayosef Elihu Vayomar. Elihu adds a fourth point, a fourth claim. His first 3 points, each time Vaya'an Elihu, every time Elihu answers, because he's responding to a different point that Eov has made, and he is responding a response which in his mind, and in certain ways it seems in the book's mind, whoever authored this book, that answer was better than one of the three friends' answers. Meaning Eov had three friends, each one tried answering him. So corresponding to these three friends, we have three times Vaya'an Elihu. Elihu answers Eov. Now that Elihu is adding a fourth point, it says Vayosef, he added. Elihu is adding support to his earlier claims. Katar li ze'er va'achaveka. Katar is Aramaic. Pause for me a little bit. Katar li, pause, wait for me. Ze'er, a little bit. Va'achaveka, and I'll tell you. Ki od le'elo'ah milim. Because, says Elihu, there's still more words to say on God's behalf. Elihu has been representing God in this argument. Elihu began by telling Eov, by telling Job, you say, I wish I could have an argument with God without having to be scared of Him. I'll talk instead of God. I'll argue with you. I'll tell you God's answers and you don't have to be scared because I'm not God. You said, I wish I could take God on in an argument. Okay, Elihu says, let's go. I'll talk, you tell me where I'm wrong. And Eov has been silent. And so now Elihu, continuing with this stance that he's going to argue with Eov in place of God, so he says, now give me a little bit more time because God has more to say. It means I have more to say in place of God. Esadei lemerachok. Esa, I will raise my voice in order to enunciate, in order to clarify, dei, my opinion, lemerachok, for a distance, so that people from far and wide will be able to hear what I have to say. Whoever wants to could come and listen. Ulfoali etin tzedek, and I will speak righteousness on behalf of the one who fashioned me, the one who made me. I will speak righteousness on behalf of God. Eov, you've spent all this time claiming that God is not righteous. You've spent all this time claiming that the world's not fair. So I have some answers. I've given you some, and I got more to say. So I want to give more justice on the side of God. Ki omnam lo sheker milai, because in truth, there's nothing false about what I have to say. Timim deyot imach. What I have to say is whole, and we're friends. I'm not coming here to get on your nerves. I'm not lying to you. I will tell you the truth, and because I'm talking the truth, I have no fear of having as many listeners as can be, because no one will contradict me. Esadei, I could raise my opinion lemerachok, to far and wide. I could let people hear what I have to say, and I'm not worried because I'm telling the truth. Ki omnam lo sheker milai, because in truth there's nothing false about what I've said. I'm not coming here to get on your nerves. I'm not coming here to anger you. I'm coming here to represent the truth. Timim deot imach, my opinions are whole with you, and I am whole with you. I have nothing against you, Eo. My claims are such because I feel they represent the truth. And the fact that in this situation we stand on opposite sides is not because I am less than whole with you. I still love you, Eo. Timim deotimach, I am whole in my thoughts with you. I have nothing against you, Eo. But I value the truth. And like the Ramban quotes from one of the philosophers who argued with Aristotle, the Ramban in his introduction to his work on the Rif, Milchamos Hashem, where he's going to argue with Rav Zrachya Halevi. Rav Zrachya Halevi, the Baal Hamor, when he was a youth, he wrote his work, and in his work he disagreed with the Rif. He calls the Rif Hamor HaGadol, the great light, and that's why he is called Hamor HaKotan. He named his work the small light. And some were very upset. How could this youngster argue with the giant, the Rif? But he was a giant himself, Rabbeinu Zrachya Halevi. Along came Nachmanides and wrote a work in which he defends the Rif against Rabbeinu Zrachya Halevi. And in his introduction to this work, he says, he quotes this philosopher who said, "I love Aristotle, but I love the truth even more." Meaning, I will argue with Aristotle, but that's not a reflection of my feelings towards him. I love him. I just have to be true to the truth. And so says the Ramban, "I have nothing against Rabbeinu Zrachya Halevi. I just love the truth more." And the same thing is that this is the line that Elihu is saying here. I love you, Eov. I just love the truth more. And that's why I'm going to take the opposite side. That's why I'm going to argue with you. Hein el kabir velo yimas kabir koach lev. God is very powerful. He is omnipotent. And nonetheless, he follows what's going on planet Earth. Hin kel kabir. God is omnipotent. Velo yimas. And he is not disgusted with humanity. He is not disgusted with a person who is kabir, who is himself potent, who is himself strong, koach lev, with strength of heart, to do what is right. And here in one line, Elihu is addressing a tremendous philosophy. Elihu is saying, God is above all the galaxies, and we are but a speck in the span of time, and if you think of all the space and all of the galaxies. And it's true that the distance between us and God is infinite. Infinite squared, right? But nonetheless, there is the concept of Hashgacha. In spite of the distance, God is following what's going on down below. And he is not disgusted with a human being, so long as that human being is strong to stand up to his evil inclinations. He hasn't said a logical point. He said a theoretical point. He hasn't proven it. He's just saying, I recognize the distance, and nonetheless, God is connected to the world. Lo yechaye rasha. Umishpat aniyim yiten. This pasuk has multiple meanings, and again, in this pasuk we have very pivotal philosophical points in Hashgacha. The pasuk can be understood that Hashem, when he's watching over the earth, so then at the time that he intervenes, and mishpat aniyim yiten, there are moments of clear hashgacha. There are moments where Hashem sees the poor and takes care of them. There are moments. There's the general hashgacha, but there's also the time where Hashem intervenes and helps the poor, and at those moments suddenly you'll see lo yechaye rasha, that he doesn't make it work for the wicked. In general, God doesn't interfere every moment. God is watching over every moment, but not necessarily interfering every moment. And then there comes a time when the poor need God to interfere on their behalf. There comes a time where a lot of people need God to interfere on their behalf. There's a war, there's a famine, there's a plague. And there comes a time where Hashem interferes and mishpat aniyim yiten. Suddenly he does justice on behalf of the poor. Suddenly Hashem does interfere on their behalf. At those moments you'll notice lo yichaye rasha. Suddenly the wicked don't live. Now again, this is a point that's very hard to prove. You know, you could view it this way, you could view it that way. At which moment in time do you want to place your finger on and say, see, this proves this way. So Eov could say, like Eov said earlier, I don't know. I see plenty of wicked that seem to have it very good. So again, here he hasn't really proven a point. He's illustrated a point, but he hasn't proven it. Lo yigra mi tzadik einav. Even at the time that God, so to speak, doesn't take note, doesn't seem to interfere when the wicked seem to be successful, but Hashem doesn't lo yigra, he does not detract mitzadik from the righteous person einav, God's attention. Einav is his eyes, it means his attention, his focus. Vet melachim lakisei, and he will elevate that tzaddik, he will make it to the throne. Vayoshivem lanetzach vayigbau, and God places them and elevates them, and for eternity they will be elevated. What's he talking about? He's talking about the situations where a tzaddik sometimes has to stand up to what is right, and he has to say this is wrong. And at those moments, Hashem will stand by him. They quote in the name of Rav Shmuel Eliyahu that he once said, my father sat in jail for a year because of what he believed in. And because he stood up to what was wrong and was willing to sit in jail for a year over it, that's why he became chief rabbi of Israel. I only sat in jail for a month or two, I don't remember the number, and that's why I'm only chief rabbi of Tzfat. Part of becoming a great person is standing up for what's right. And Eov tells us, lo yigra mi tzadik einav. God doesn't detract. God doesn't even do his telpanim. He doesn't hide himself from the tzaddik when the tzaddik does what's right. And when the tzaddik stands up for what's right, ve'et melachim lakiseh, God will ultimately bring him up to the throne like the kings. Vayoshivem lanetzach, but the tzaddik will have that position for eternity, vayigbau, and he'll only be elevated. A king, he always has to worry. Is he going up? Is he going down? Where is he going to land? Are they going to rebel? Are they going to assassinate him? A tzaddik doesn't have to worry about it. Vayoshivim lanetzach. Ve'im asurim bazikim. And if sometimes it happens that the righteous are bound in shackles, the imasurim, and if the righteous are sometimes bound, bazikim, in shackles, and here it could be understood, it's shackles of metal, literally shackles, or else it could be shackles of afflictions, that sometimes God does send afflictions to the righteous, yilachidun bechav leoni, or they're bound by the ropes of poverty, vayaged lahem pa'olam. That didn't happen by coincidence. It didn't happen because God is not involved in the world. If the righteous find themselves suffering, so they have to know that that was also something that was planned from above, and it's because they veered slightly off the path. And when God makes things go bad for them, so it's as though God's telling them, vayaged lahem, that's God's way of telling them, pa'olam, that they've done something wrong. Or God has told them that their negligence has become too great. So Hashem looks at what a tzaddik does, and if sometimes the tzaddik finds himself suffering, he has to know that's a message from above. Pasuk Yud. Vayinel oznam lamusar. And so God reveals their ear to hear God's message. Vayinel oznam lamusar. God reveals their ear so that they'll hear what God's telling them they've done wrong. Is it Vayinen or Vayigel? What does it say in your Tanakh? Pasuk Yud. Vayigel, right? I think it says Vayinel. I think it should be Vayigel. Vayigel. Pasuk. No, the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud.
Yeah,
Vayigel. Vayigel, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a misprint here. Vayigel oznam lamusar. God reveals their ears, so to speak, so that they will accept God's message, God's musar. It's as though God's telling them, repent, and if they accept it, vayomer ki yeshuvun me'aven, and it's as though God's telling them, come back from what you've done wrong. What's his point? When the righteous suffer, that's a message to them. It's a message from above that they have to change something. Maybe it's something slight, but they have to change something. If they listen, if they understand the message that they've done something wrong, and then they return to the service of Hashem, they will finish their days in good, and they will end their days in pleasantry. And if they don't listen to the message, Bishelach Yavoru, they'll pass from the world with the sword. Shelach is a sword. Mitu Shelach was named Mitu Shelach because he passed away with the sword in his hand. Mit Bishelach Biyado. Passed away with the sword in his hand. So Shelach is a sword. Vim lo yishmeu, if they don't listen to the message, Bishelach Yavoru, they'll pass from the world with the sword and they will die. They will die a violent death because they weren't willing to get the message. V'yigve'u bivlidat, and their death is because they refuse to understand. V'chanfe'lev yasimu ahaf, the wicked, they practice sycophancy with their desires. They do whatever they want, and they cause anger up above. V'chanfe'lev, they practice sycophancy, they're constantly trying to appease their heart. The heart, v'lotatu achei levavchem, we say it in Shema every day. Our heart is always desiring things that are wrong. A person who's constantly appeasing his heart, it means he's going after his desires. His heart wants whatever it wants. V'chanfele, people who appease their heart, they're practicing sycophancy towards their heart. Yasimuaf, they place anger up above. Lo yeshaveu ki asaram. And they don't call God, and even when they are bound with these afflictions, they assume it's all nature, and they say, gee, isn't it terrible that this is the world we live in? They think there's no point in prayer. Lo yishavu, they don't daven ki asaram when God binds them in afflictions. So he's giving an underhanded message to you. This is the way improper people behave. They assume it's all nature. You know, some people are healthy, some people are sick, some people have better, some people have it worse. What can we do? There's no point in davening. So tamot manon nafsham, and therefore their soul dies at youth. V'chayatam, and their life, chayatam, like chayut, bakideshim, their soul leaves them, and their soul, so to speak, is just prepared to leave them in prostitution. Kideshim comes from the word kidesha. Their soul is always focused on the physical pleasures, so chayatam, their life, is focused on prostitution. So where are they going to be found dead? In a brothel. So he's describing how the wicked, their focus is always on fulfilling their desire, and even in their death is a humiliating death. And his point is that suffering isn't something bad. He's not coming to tell Eov, you know, you're a terrible person. But he's saying, you know, suffering is not the worst thing in the world. You're gauging God by saying, if I'm suffering, then it's not good. I led a good life. If I'm suffering, then life's not fair. I don't deserve this. So his point earlier was, Well, it's not about deserving, because you don't deserve anything. Nothing good you do merits that you should get something good from God. It's God's kindness that gives us good. But in truth, when you lead a good life, you're doing yourself a favor. You're not doing God a favor. You lead a bad life, you're hurting yourself. God punishes those who lead a bad life. It's God's message to them. He's giving us a certain understanding as to where punishment falls into play in our world, where suffering comes into play. And he says it's something that's supposed to be a message. It's supposed to be an indicator. But at the end of the day, he's saying, hey, don't think that you could gauge the world and say, this is what I deserve, this is what I don't deserve. You don't deserve anything. You have no right to make any claims before God. That was his point earlier. Now he's saying, don't view suffering as the worst thing in the world. Suffering is God's way of giving a certain message to humanity. Your gauge, you're saying, well, if I'm suffering, then life's not good and life's not fair and this isn't the way the world should be. It's not exactly that way. And we could also understand this in line with what he said earlier. He claimed earlier that before things turn really bad, God always makes things slightly bad, and then slightly worse, and then slightly worse, and God is giving you a message. Don't let it get worse. It's in your hands. So if we put these two thoughts together, then we get a clearer message. We'll still see. You know, he's in the middle of a thought. Well, we'll see as we go on. We'll get a clearer picture.
Doesn't he also seem to be arguing, like his predecessors, that Eov has done something wrong?
Yes. Here he's indicating there's a message in this suffering. And that's a point where it's not clear that there's any validity to what he's saying. Because right. God doesn't seem to present Eov that way. And notice that his predecessors made all kinds of claims as to what Eov did wrong. And we had to wonder, because Eov describes himself as this perfect, pious person. And they describe as things where he's less than perfect. And we asked ourselves, are they guessing? Where did they get this from? Because the pasuk certainly describes him as tam, as a whole person. So where do they get all these sins from? Are they guessing? Maybe you did this, maybe you did that. Or do they know what they're talking about? And they're pointing to facts. And they're saying, you were wrong here, and you were wrong there. We left that as a question. He's being less specific. He's not saying, if you did A or B or C wrong. He's saying, the fact that you're suffering is a message from above. And on that point, we're going to have to see, as we finish the book, whether God agrees with Elihu or not. From the beginning of the book, we certainly get an indication that God does not agree with Elihu. The beginning of the book describes Eov as being great, and the only reason he's suffering is because of some conversation between God and Satan. But he doesn't deserve it. And there's no message being given, according to the simple reading that we read the beginning of the book. As we finish the book, we'll have to see what messages we get there.
Right. Now, I'm just a little...